What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking body recomposition or body recomp. And before we start, I just want to say again for the thousandth time, I really appreciate all the kind words and positive reviews. The listenership of the podcast has grown in the last like 2 months in a way that I am feeling stupid for not having asked for reviews in the past, because a lot of you guys have left reviews and the podcast has grown in the last couple months in a way that I wish, you know, makes me feel like I should have been doing that for a long time. But I really appreciate it. It means a ton. It only takes a second. On Spotify, you just leave 5 stars. On iTunes, you know, you can leave some words as well. And I really do appreciate it. It really does mean a ton. We're putting out like 2 podcasts a week. We have some really good guests coming up over the next couple of months. And I really look forward to putting a lot of effort into the podcast this year. So without further ado, we're talking about body recomp today. So we'll do a little table of contents and then we'll get into the topic. So we're going to talk about what is body recomp, kind of define it. We'll talk about what are the pros and cons. We'll talk about can you gain or lose a little bit of weight doing this. We'll talk about physiologically how it's possible. Like, I thought you had to be in a deficit to lose fat. How can you do that at maintenance calories? We'll take a look at some evidence. We'll talk about who can recomp most effectively. We'll talk about how to optimize your results while recomping. And we will culminate in a discussion of whether or not you should do this, you, the listener. I put up a Q&A box asking for questions about body recomp, and I'd say 90% of the questions were in some way, shape, or form indicative of the question asker being in a situation of wondering whether or not they should do this, whether they should do body recomp or gaining and cutting, or what should they expect? What can they expect? You know, and I think that makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of people kind of understand the concept, but they're not really sure if it is practical for them or if they should do this. And so that's ultimately the discussion that we will finish with. I'll give a little bit of my advice and personal experience as well. And so let's jump right in. I think a lot of people have a familiarity with what body recomp is, but I think it's important that we start here. Body recomp is essentially eating at maintenance calories with the aim to lose a little bit of fat slowly and gain a little bit of muscle slowly, changing the composition of one's body, meaning having more muscle and less fat. And this is almost in contrast to gaining and cutting cycles, where you have a period of calorie surplus, where you gain weight and muscle, and then you have a period of calorie deficit where you lose fat. And by doing that, you also improve the composition of your body, but you're doing it through dedicated periods of gaining weight and then dedicated periods of losing weight, where body recomposition is you eating at maintenance calories, not changing your body weight very much, but losing some fat and gaining some muscle simultaneously, improving the composition, you know, looking a little leaner, looking a little bit more muscular, but without having to go through dedicated gaining and cutting cycles. So what are the pros and cons of doing, let's say, body recomp over, let's say, gaining and cutting cycles? The pros are, again, my opinion, maintenance rocks, man. Maintenance is great. You know, maintenance is probably your happiest life. You're usually roughly at a body size that you feel, you know, kind of comfortable in. You don't really have to gain any more weight, you know, deal with, you know, some of the discomfort that can come from weight gain. Maybe, you know, you're like, hey, I don't fit in a bunch of my clothes when I do gaining phases. It's not fun. And on the flip side, you don't have to spend time dieting. You don't have to spend time with all of the obvious, just kind of natural discomforts that come from being in a calorie deficit. So the pros and cons of doing body recomp or doing, you know, being at maintenance calories and losing a little bit of fat, gaining a little bit of muscle, is that you don't have to do gaining and cutting and deal with the discomfort that comes from that. Now, I will say that you might have a different view on those pros and cons, meaning like you might not think gaining and cutting is such a hassle. You might not be so worried about a little bit of fat gain. You might not be so worried about the hunger that comes from being in a calorie deficit. And that's absolutely fair. These are just like the buckets that one should look at. The long and short of it is body recomposition, you will see changes at maintenance slower. Bulking and cutting, you will see changes faster. If you want to see the fastest physique change you can, bulking and cutting will get you there. Bulking will build muscle faster. Cutting will lose fat faster. The net of that will be faster body recomposition changes, but you have to go through intentional gaining and cutting, which can bring with it some level of discomfort. So the TLDR, it's more fun to do body recomp, in my opinion. I think maintenance is your best life in most cases, but you get slower progress with a lower ceiling. And so it's like, hey, I get to maintain a body weight. I don't have to worry about gaining weight. I don't have to worry about the discomfort of being in a deficit, but my results are slower. Those are basically the two sides of the coin, the two ends of the spectrum there of like, oh, I get slower results, but it's potentially, you know, less annoying. I don't have to deal with gaining weight. I don't have to lose, you know, I don't have to worry about being hungry. A question I got in the Q&A that I wanted to cover was, can you gain a little bit of weight doing this? Somebody was like, hey, if I'm losing weight, you know, is that recomp? If I'm gaining weight, is that recomp? And I think we can have a nuanced discussion about that, but not really. I mean, if you're gaining weight consistently week to week, or you're losing weight consistently week to week, you're not at maintenance calories. I think it is possible, and technically when it comes to body recomposition, the improvement in one's composition of one's body, that happens in a deficit, right? If you're losing fat but maintaining muscle, that is also improving body composition. But what we're talking about today is maintenance calories, an amount of calories that allows your weight to stay roughly where it is, roughly. You know, it's possible you lose a tiny bit of weight. It's possible you gain a tiny bit of weight. But we are talking about this within the context, the understanding of maintenance-ish, meaning if you're gaining weight consistently, that's not recomp. If you're losing weight consistently, week to week, tangibly, you're not at maintenance. That's not recomp. The entire premise of doing body recomposition is that you're doing it without changing your body weight very much, that the rate at which you're losing a little bit of fat relatively matches the rate at which you'd be gaining a little bit of muscle, and your body weight and size stays relatively the same while you improve the composition of it over time. Here's the deal. If you have 20, 30, 40 pounds of weight or fat that you want to lose, you don't do that with body recomposition. You need an intentional deficit. We are talking about very small amounts of fat loss here, not appreciable amount of weight. So if you are out there and you're like, hey, I really want to lose 20, 30, 40 pounds, you need to be in a calorie deficit. Now, you know, if we're just being a little bit more contextual here, the person out there who does want to lose 20, 30, 40 pounds, would they still benefit from doing body recomposition? Would they still say, you know what, maybe I don't want to do that deficit right now? So could I benefit from doing body recomposition kind of along the way within my journey? Absolutely. But as the tool to specifically lose 20, 30, 40 pounds, you need an intentional deficit. You need a sizable deficit. You're not going to do that through body recomposition. And so the question that you should ultimately be asking is, how is this possible? How are, like, everybody's like, if you're not losing weight, you're not in a calorie deficit. And so what we've kind of turned into almost like a rhetorical understanding is that in order to lose weight, in order to lose fat, you need to be in a calorie deficit. And here I am, and basically everybody else in the industry is like, yeah, but you can also do that at maintenance, but it's going to be very, very small amounts of fat loss. So how does that happen? How can you lose fat without being in a calorie deficit? And I will say that it's, you know, I did a lot. This was the part of this podcast I had to do the most research on. I had some ideas physiologically, of course, about how this is going, is happening, but I was looking for more. I was looking for more on this topic. And I was a little disappointed with how little more there was. And so essentially what's happening is when you are building muscle, what we see is an improvement in what's called nutrient partitioning, right? When you train really hard, you send that, you know, that signal to your body to build more muscle and you eat enough protein, we see improvements in what's called nutrient partitioning. And nutrient partitioning is essentially how your body allocates the calories and nutrients that you consume, right? With hard training, you know, enough protein, good recovery, what can happen is your body can become more efficient at directing the nutrients you consume towards muscle repair and growth rather than fat storage. And that can lead to some small amounts of fat lost. I think it's important to understand that you are always gaining fat. You're always storing fat. You're always burning fat. Just like you're always building new muscle tissue and you're always having muscle protein breakdown. These things are happening, this flux of storing fat, losing fat, this flux of muscle protein synthesis and muscle protein breakdown. These things are happening all the time. And so essentially what's happening is we are, you know, partitioning nutrients a little bit away from fat loss towards the muscle building process, and that can create some net amount of fat loss. Now, again, this sounds super cool and super fancy, and it is. It is super cool. I mean, the body's an amazing thing. But the end result is ultimately probably what you care about. And the end result is that for most people, this fat loss in maintenance happens to a tiny degree compared to an intentional substantial calorie deficit. So it's super cool, increases nutrient partitioning, mean that we partition nutrients a little bit away from fat storage, a little bit towards the building of new muscle tissue, the repair and growth of new muscle tissue, The new muscle tissue is an interesting point of research that is still being researched. So we'll cover that another time. But yeah, it sounds super cool, but at the end of the day, yeah, you're not losing much fat at maintenance. You're not losing much fat during body recomposition. Some, technically, of course, but not much. And so if you're out there and you're like, I want to lose a substantial amount of weight, this is not how you do it. This is still a potentially, like I said, a potential really great thing for you to do. Build some muscle, not have to go through discomfort, get some fat loss, see some recomposition, and do that all in a pretty comfortable phase at maintenance. But, you know, if you want to lose a significant amount of weight, you definitely need a more intentional, substantial calorie deficit. And so, you know, a lot of people, when we talk about this, and we're going to talk about who can recomp most effectively, like what sort of person with what sort of attributes can recomp most effectively, but I'll give you a little hint. Like, the newer you are to training, like newbies, can recomp really effectively. And that's always been kind of how we talk about recomp. We're like, hey, it's something that newbies can do, but once you're more trained, it becomes not practical. And I think that that's, for the most part, there's a lot of truth to that, because the newer you are to training, the better results you'll see lifting at maintenance calories, doing body recomposition. The more trained you are, pro bodybuilders, for example, being, let's say, like the highest extreme example of that, are going to see way less body recomposition changes at maintenance than somebody who's brand new to training. And we're going to talk a little bit more about other characteristics that would put you in a more favorable position. So I don't think anybody's kind of saying, I don't think anybody's contesting the fact that if you're new to training, you can do this effectively. But what about trained people? What about people who have been lifting for, you know, at least a year, 2 years, 3 years, athletes? Do we have research in this population that shows that recomp is possible? And we do. We have a paper back in 2020. Sorry, I'm just pulling it up on my computer as we're looking at it. A paper back in 2020 by Barakat et al. Shout out to Chris Barakat. If you don't follow Chris Barakat, he's a great follow in the natural bodybuilding space. And if, even if you're not like a natural bodybuilder, you have any interest in it, a lot of this stuff that we learn about building muscle and fat loss can be learned from studying that population. And so there's still a lot to learn from Chris and the information he puts out, even if you're not, you don't have any interest in bodybuilding. There was a paper in 2020. There was also a couple other famous people on it. I say famous, I mean people that have just been kind of well-known in the space. Bill Campbell was on this paper. D'Souza was on this paper, who's also been putting out some really cool hypertrophy research lately. And I'm just going to read you the conclusion. I'm going to read it to you verbatim because I think it's not in such crazy language that makes it sound, you know, just not understandable like a lot of research is. It's written in a way that I think will communicate what what I want you guys to understand about recomping in more trained populations. So here is the conclusion verbatim from this paper. Yes, this was a paper where they pooled basically sort of like a meta-analysis where they looked at a lot of the research that met certain characteristics. Usually people needed to have trained for like at least a year. Some of the studies also had nutrition interventions where they also looked at, you know, groups eating higher and lower amounts of protein. But there were studies with both nutrition interventions and without nutrition interventions. But the main thing they were looking for was studies that in trained individuals where we see body recomposition, meaning muscle gain and fat lost at the same time. And so I'll read the conclusion. I'll shut up here. Despite the common belief that building muscle and losing fat at the same time is only plausible in novice or obese individuals, the literature provided supports that trained individuals can also experience body recomposition. Individuals' training status, the exercise interventions, and their baseline body composition can influence the magnitude of muscle gained and fat lost. Resistance training, coupled with dietary strategies, basically, you know, eating more protein, has been shown to augment this phenomenon, basically make this, you know, better. In addition, there seems to be confounding non-training nutrition variables such as sleep, hormones, and metabolism that can significantly influence these adaptations. You know, if you sleep better, you'll see better results. If you have higher levels of testosterone, for example, you'll get better results. Thus, coaches and practitioners must self-audit their current approach, determine how they can improve their training and nutritional regimen on an individual basis, and implement evidence-based strategies to optimize body recomposition. Essentially saying, hey, we have some research that proves that trained individuals can still do some body recomposition. And that's really cool. What I would say, a couple notes on, I read through the paper a couple times yesterday. The recomping, meaning the muscle that was built and the fat that was lost in a lot of these papers was small. Like, I'm not trying, like, let's not get it twisted. These trained individuals didn't lose a ton of fat at maintenance and gain a ton of muscle at maintenance. But it did confirm that if you train hard, eat enough protein and sleep, you should expect some change over time. Like this paper basically just showed, hey, it's possible in trained individuals. And I gotta say that was surprising enough, right? In a binary sense of this is possible or not, the fact that it is possible was surprising enough to make this just like a really awesome paper that just, you know, puts some faith back in doing this even if you're not, you know, brand new to training. So who can recomp most effectively? Essentially, what characteristics enhance one's ability to see body recomposition changes at maintenance calories? There are four buckets that make you more likely to experience favorable changes at maintenance calories. And the first is if you're new to training. If you're new to training, you can just, the training stimulus is just so freaking powerful. It's so novel that you see crazy changes. We know this. Newbies build muscle much easier. And because that muscle building stimuli is so powerful, we probably see such a robust increase to nutrient partitioning that on both ends of the spectrum, this is happening more optimally. The second scenario is regaining muscle you once had. Maybe you were injured or you're coming off a layoff. And essentially, this is a microcosm of newbie gains, right? You're not a newbie. You've been training for 5 years, but you, for the last 6 months, have been rehabbing, you know, a bad injury and you haven't been training. Well, you've experienced detraining, essentially a microcosm of somebody who's brand new to training. You're not brand new to training, but you've taken some time off. So you're going to get something like newbie gains. I mean, the same idea where this is a novel stimuli for newbies, it's a more novel stimuli for you. And muscle memory is a real thing, and you can regain muscle really quickly. And again, on that note, you can see recomp really well. The third scenario is if you're taking anabolic steroids. If you take anabolic steroids, we see that you can recomp really, really well. You can build muscle and lose fat at maintenance, like, with ease. And the last is for higher body fat levels. So if you are at a higher body fat level, we see more favorable changes in body recomposition at maintenance. Both, and so let me just read through some of my notes. It seems that if you're really lean, so higher body fat levels, let's compare that to somebody who's more lean. If you're really lean and you want to gain muscle, it's less likely you can do that and lose fat at the same time because you already have so little body fat. So if a really lean person, right, it seems that if you have, like, if you are really lean and you want to recomp, it's unlikely that you'll be able to do so meaningfully because you already don't have a lot of fat. It seems that if you have a lot more body fat, you can see a more favorable ratio of muscle gain to fat lost. The guys over at Stronger by Science, Eric Trexler, Greg Knuckles, looked at a lot of these papers and where people gain muscle and lose fat and recomp and kind of plotted the ratio of muscle built to fat lost on a graph. And on average, people at higher body weights or higher body fat levels saw more favorable ratio of muscle to muscle gained to fat lost. You know, and that's not to say that having more body fat makes you better at building muscle, period. It more so means that the more body fat you have, the more likely you can get a favorable net change in body composition, muscle gain to fat loss ratio, at maintenance, right? Lean people will see less net changes to body comp than those with more body fat. If you have more body fat and you lift at maintenance, you'll see your body change more than somebody who's really lean and lifting at maintenance. That's what that means. So the leaner you are, the lower your expectations should be for change, the higher body fat you have, that you can have more expectation to see some change. If you want to recomp, what are the habits / things that you can do to make it work most effectively? Every time I do this, I'm like, there might be more here. Like, there are things that might make the list, but they just don't make a meaningful list. The four most meaningful things you can do that probably cover 99% of your available gains are training hard with enough intensity, enough volume, specifically for hypertrophy. If you're like, yeah, I was training hard. I was going to Orange Theory 3 times a week. It's like, first of all, it's not bad. Orange Theory is cool. It's great. General health, you get some conditioning, all that stuff. Awesome. But when we're talking about specifically body recomp, you want to be training with the goal of building muscle, hypertrophy training. So you want to do hypertrophy training, which means doing enough volume, enough intensity, getting close enough to failure, picking appropriate exercises in appropriate rep ranges, all of that stuff. Next is eating enough protein, and these aren't necessarily in order of importance. I think the first one is probably the most important. The other three are, you know, depends on the context. Eating enough protein. A lot of these studies in the Barakat paper were putting people on like 2 grams per kilogram, which is closer to like 0.8, 0.9 grams per pound. But we've seen the ability to build muscle, the benefits of protein on muscle building kind of start to peter off after around 1.6 grams per kg. And frankly, a reassessment of a lot of that literature, in my opinion, actually brings that number lower. What I mean is that once you're above like 0.7 grams per pound, there is not a lot of good research that says, well, you know, there's a lot more muscle building for you if you keep eating more protein. That there's not a compelling argument for that. However, this is, and I'm fully bought in on that, by the way. I have lowered my stance on high protein. I've lowered the number in which I recommend. I've changed my tune in terms of how I communicate how much protein you need to build muscle and be fit and strong and healthy. But if my like main goal in life, you know, if I was like, hey, my main goal in life is I want to optimize body recomposition. I want to build as much muscle and lose some fat at maintenance. And that is a really, really important thing to me. And I want to turn every knob that I can, I would eat more protein. Like I would just, what I mean is I would take a flyer on it. I would just be like, hey, like, let's see. You know, if there's something there, I want to grab it. Even if it's not mega convincing in the literature, I want to get every ounce of benefit that I can. I would probably go to a gram per pound of muscle growth or more. And again, that is if I felt like my life was depending on this in some way. You know, like if this was the thing I wanted to do and it's a super high priority, I might bump the protein up a little bit just in case there's something there. But yeah, I have plenty of clients who have seen unbelievable results at like 0.6, 0.7 grams per pound with hard training, enough sleep, which is the next one. Next one is get enough sleep, 7 to 9 hours of sleep. I like to tell people it's hard to know that you slept for 7 to 9 hours because maybe you got up to pee, maybe you tossed and turned a little bit, maybe you know, whatever, your 12-week old baby needed you, you know? But one thing that's a little bit easier to discern is being in your bed for at least 8 hours. Like be in your bed from the time you turn the light off to the time you turn the alarm goes off, 8 hours. We call it a sleep opportunity. Give yourself an 8-hour sleep opportunity. And I think a lot of people are going to do really, really well. And the last one, of course, is eat at maintenance calories, right? Eat at maintenance calories. If you want to recomp, if you're out there, I want to recomp, train hard specifically for hypertrophy. Get on a program that is designed for hypertrophy and train your butt off. Number two is eat enough protein, at least 0.7 grams per pound of current body weight. You know, there's some research that was looking at, like, they did calculations in lean body mass. I don't really like calculations in lean body mass because that means you have to kind of calculate your own body fat percentage. And I think that that's just not practical. So 0.7 grams per pound of body weight, yes. Or sorry, at least 0.7 grams per pound of body weight. Yes, if you're in a larger body, that multiplier can go a little bit lower. But I also think that, you know, you might say, okay, but, you know, I'll take a flyer that more is also helpful. And so I still kind of sit, unless you have obesity and you have maybe a lot of extra body fat and 0.7 has you eating just nonstop protein, I still kind of stand by that metric. But I do think the more body fat you have, the lower that multiplier can go. I'm going to take a quick sip here of, you know what, Jenna and I are working out right after this and I have a pre-workout here. So if I start to get, if I start to talk at what sounds like 1.25 speed, you don't need to check your podcast app. That is just the pre-workout kicking in. Okay, so far, quick recap, body recomposition, eating at maintenance calories, trying to lose a little bit of fat, gain a little bit of muscle at the same time, improving the composition of your body. And again, that doesn't happen from the fat turning into muscle. It happens from improvements in nutrient partitioning, where we can partition nutrients away from fat storage and towards the repair and growth of muscle tissue. If you're gaining or losing weight meaningfully week after week, you're not at maintenance. The pros, maintenance is great. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to go through the discomfort of gaining weight. You don't have to go through the discomfort of losing weight. The cons, it happens slower. We have evidence in trained individuals where you can still see body recomposition results, even if you've been training for some time. But it is true that the newer you are to training, the more you can see results at maintenance. If you're regaining muscle you once had, you can recomp more effectively if you're on steroids or if you're at higher body fat levels. If you want to recap, if you want to recomp more or most effectively, make sure you're training hard for hypertrophy, eating enough protein, sleeping enough, and of course, eating maintenance calories. Now, I want to get into this question of, should you do this? Should you do body recomposition? And then I will talk about my advice and my personal experience. And I'm not, it's not that I get frustrated. I put out an email this week in my newsletter. It's called Body Recomposition Rant. And rant implies that like somebody's bothered by something and they need to rant about it. It's not that I'm bothered by this question of should I do body recomp? Like what should I expect? I'm not bothered by that question, but I'll tell you why. Yeah, I get so many questions. People are like, how long does it take? Or can you define what a newbie is? Like, I don't know if I'm a newbie, right? Because we just said if you're newer to training, you can see better results at maintenance. People are like, people hear that and rightfully they ask, well, am I new to training? I've been lifting for 3 years, but I've only recently started optimizing things for hypertrophy. I exercised a bunch earlier in my life, but only recently have I been lifting weights and I've been doing this for 2 years or 1 year or 4 years. At what point am I not a newbie anymore? Like, we don't know. Like, we don't know exactly as if there's like, oh, after the 2 year mark, because there's so many variables. If you've been air quote lifting for the last 2 years, you could be lifting in a program not designed for hypertrophy with not enough intensity, you know, not eating enough protein, not really sleeping enough, versus somebody else who's been lifting, you know, again, in an extreme scenario, perfect hypertrophy program, perfect intensity, perfect everything. And those two people are going to be at different training ages. They will have different, you know, abilities to gain and lose fat at maintenance, gain muscle, lose fat at maintenance. So it's really difficult to be like, am I a newbie? Is this practical for me? Where do I fall on the spectrum of being newer to training, you know? And all of these questions, like, you know, what are realistic expectations? I'm reading through them now. What's the timeline? What should I expect? What are realistic expectations? How long does it take? Can you define new to training? You know, can you define what a newbie is? They're all part of a similar line of questions about what would, you know, it look like for you and ultimately should you do this, right? People aren't sure if they're new enough to training to see quote unquote meaningful results. Now, here is one of the fundamental problems with asking somebody on the internet whether or not you should do body recomp. Because I have no idea what you think is meaningful results, right? I have no clue how much you value not gaining and cutting. So what people are basically saying is can I see meaningful change doing this? And again, I have no clue what you think is meaningful, and right, meaningful is the outcome, meaningful results. And the input is, or the pros are, I don't have to gain and cut. So I don't know what you think is meaningful body composition change. I don't know what you think is meaningful, and I don't know how much you value not having to gain and cut. Right? Meaningful is a relative term that factors in how much change you got and how much you enjoyed the process. You might see very little change, but you loved your life over the last 6 to 12 months. And you might think, yeah, I'm fine with this rate of progress if it means I don't have to gain and lose weight all the time. Right? And that's so somebody might see very little change over the last 6 to 12 months, but they value the pros of not having to gain and cut. The same person might see very little change, and maybe you did enjoy your life, but you are valuing the rate of progress more than you are valuing the potential annoyance of gaining and cutting for more, you know, more physique change over time. So you might be saying, yeah, my life was good, but the results I got, you know, were under what I really want. And so I'm okay trading away some of the comfort of being at maintenance to get better results. And so I don't know what you think is meaningful in terms of muscle gain and fat loss, physique change, body recomposition. I also don't know how much you value the fun of being at maintenance and how much you don't like the potential discomforts of gaining and cutting. So there's just like a dynamic that I'm not sure about. And I'll give you an example with me, you know, whatever, just a quick example is I care way more about the benefits of not gaining and cutting. Like, I really don't want to gain and cut. And to me, that value of not wanting to gain and cut, I value more than needing to make faster results. So I am in a situation where if you told me I was going to gain really, really slow because I've been doing this for 10, 15 years, but I don't have to gain and cut, for me, that is meaningful. To me, if I look at all more muscular every 2 years. That's meaning, like, even, like, I'm talking about at all. If I can take a bunch of progress photos and I'm like, oh, I see anything at all every 2 years, that's meaningful to me because I don't want to gain and cut. So I have decided that not gaining cutting is the most important thing, and I will live with the results. You might not feel that way. And so that's like just a really tough thing. People are like, what can I expect? It's like, yeah, but how you feel about your results is so personal to your value structure that it's so hard for me to tell you what you should or should not do, right? What I can say is unless you're in your first year or two of intelligent lifting, and I'll put that word intelligent there just to kind of weed out the person who's like, oh, I've been lifting at F45 for the past 2 years. That's not what I mean. I mean intentional, hypertrophy-driven training. If you're not in your first 2 years of doing that, I would assess physique change at maintenance over at least a 6 to 12 month period, personally. If I have a client who's been training for several years or been with me for a couple of years, and they want to know if recomp is, you know, if they want to assess whether recomp is kind of working or not, I'd say, guys, you got to think about this over like a year, six to 12 months, because it's going to happen that slowly after a while. So my advice, my one-on-one clients will ask me this sort of stuff all the time, since there's an obvious upside to getting to hang out at maintenance and still see changes. If you're like, hey, I don't have to worry about my clothes fitting differently, and I don't have to worry about being hungry, and I can still see change, that is something I understand people want to explore. They absolutely should explore that. As their coach, I can make an educated guess about what I know about them, right? What is their training history like? What's their training intensity like? What have they been doing most recently? What did they used to do? How lean are they? Are they consistently hitting their calories, eating enough protein? What's the rest of their lifestyle like? But that's still relative to what I think is meaningful change over a given time period. You know, a client's like, hey, the phrasing I will hear most often is recomp practical for me, right? Practical. Meaning is it, am I, again, it's just like there's so much subjectivity to that question. I don't know what you care about most. And so, you know, I might say something like, hey, based on, and I'm struggling because I know how relative this all is, but I might say, hey, I think you're in a place where if you check all the boxes, training hard four times a week, maintenance calories, enough protein, enough sleep, if you do that for 6 to 12 months, I think you'll be happy with the results. But that's still just an educated guess, right? As we just talked about, about how you view the pros and cons, the juice and squeeze will ultimately determine how you feel about the last 6 to 12 months. You might gain very little, but love your life and think, yep, that's worth it. You might gain very little, but you know, you love your life, but you also don't mind gaining and cutting. And you might be like, well, I'd rather gain and cut if I get faster results. So, you know, this is going to sound annoying, but I wrote it this way. It's like, stop asking if this is realistic for you or what you can expect, because those are all questions that are relative to what you find meaningful for the cost. So my advice is, if you're not sure, understand the things we talked about, where like, if you're newer to training, you'll see better recomp. If you're regaining muscle you once had, you'll get better recomp. If you're eating enough protein, you'll get better recomp. If you're getting enough sleep, you'll get better recomp. And obviously do those things most optimally to get most optimal results, minus the being new to training part. The training for at least 4 days a week. Let's say the reason I don't put 3 days a week in there is, you can recomp at 3 days a week. I'm speaking maybe right now to somebody who has been training long enough to not be sure if they're a newbie. If you've been training long enough that you're not sure if you're new to training or not, you're like, well, I'm probably not new to training, but I'm still wondering if recomp is practical for me. I would say train 4 days a week So my advice to people in these scenarios, and I tell my clients this all the time, is I'm going to give you my best guess about whether I think, based on our discussions and my understanding of what you find meaningful and what your lifestyle is like, whether or not you'll be happy 6 to 12 months from now. I'm going to make my best guess. But what we should do is take some progress photos, take stock of how you feel right now, take stock of your, you know, your physique, and then for 6 to 12 months, dial in those things. Dial in your training 4 times a week. Eat at maintenance calories 3 to 4 days a week, 3 to 5 times a week training. I don't like that I'm leaving out 3 days a week. You can still recomp at 3 days a week. But I feel like if you're a person who's, this is very important to you, you might just err on the 4 times a week training. Eat at maintenance calories, eat enough protein and eat enough sleep and see what happens. Listen to me very carefully. If after 6 to 12 months, you take stock of your results, right? Take some photos, take some measurements, journal about how you look and feel in your clothes. That's what matters. If someone's like, is recomp practical for me? It's like, how about you do it for 6 to 12 months and see what happens? Because this is going to sound kind of pessimistic, but whatever results you get in the next 12 months of dialing things in, you can assume those are the best results you'll ever get at eating at maintenance calories, assuming that you don't dramatically increase training or, you know, dial in those things if they weren't dialed in. Like, I don't mean, because we are always in a perpetual state of gaining muscle slower and slower, right? The more muscle you have, the slower you will gain it. So because that's always happening, you have to imagine that the next 12 months of your life, you have the opportunity to build the most muscle possible. And every 12-month period after that, you will build less and less muscle. Again, it's not linear, but you have to think of it that way. Like if you do 12 months of training and I say to you, Susan, we just did 12 months of hard training 3 to 5 times a week, enough intensity, hypertrophy training, enough protein, enough sleep, dialed in calories. Here were the results. Here's what you looked like on January 1. Here's what you looked on January 1. You know, here's how you spoke about your body and how you felt. Here are some of your body measurements. Whatever you want to do to kind of assess that, you need to say, I'm down for that again, or I'm not. Were those results meaningful to you in relation to what they cost, which was a lot of comfort and enjoyment at maintenance? And whatever you gained, let's say you gained 4 pounds of muscle. If you copy and paste that year to next year, you're going to gain less than 4 pounds. Let's say you gain 3 pounds. And if you copy and paste that again, you're going to gain 2 pounds and then 1 pound. The leaner you get, the more muscular you get, the less quickly this is going to happen, the slower it's going to happen. So, you know, again, that sounds pessimistic, but like that is the truth where like every year of you repeating that process, you would expect to see less and less change. So you have to assume if you're not happy with the results this year, you're not magically going to be happy with the results next year, but in all likelihood, they will be, you know, very similar because it's only 1 year, but technically speaking, worse. And it's just like, so many of these questions that I got were about what sort of results can I expect in this sort of a time period? And the answer is, who knows? You know, if you're, first of all, we have a ton of genetic differences, right? So some people, I've had clients grow in a deficit better than other clients grow in a surplus, or what seemed to be better growth. And that's down to genetics. Maybe they were training harder, training more, more protein, more sleep, taking care of their recovery. Maybe they were newer to training, all that stuff. But there's so much genetic variance to this and how we, in physique change across all sorts of calorie intakes. If you're brand new to lifting, you're probably going to see really great results. If you've been lifting for a few years, you know, it's probably going to happen slowly, but I would probably say you'll be happy with 6 to 12 months of doing this if you dial in those knobs. If you've been lifting for a few years, but not optimizing for hypertrophy or eating enough, you know, you're like, I've been air quote lifting for a few years, maybe doing just kind of like less intense programming, less designed for hypertrophy, you're probably going to see some tangible results. You're probably going to be quite happy with it. If you have a lot of extra body fat, you're likely going to see tangible change that I believe is meaningful. Again, these are all like, every time I say it, I cringe. It shocks me a little bit because like it gives me like this internal shock because I don't know if you're going to be happy with that. I'm happy if I gain 100 grams of muscle, if I gain like 50 grams of muscle a year across my whole body, which is an indistinguishable amount, an amount that you would never, ever, ever notice. What is that? You know, if we have a 1 kilo, that's 1/20th of a kilo. You know, the math is 1/20th of a kilo. Kilo's 2.2. You know, point. I don't even know what that math is like, but like, you know, a fraction of a pound of muscle distributed across my whole body. I'm happy with that. Me personally, right now in my life, I'm happy with that because my values are that I care more about not gaining and cutting, and I'll live with the results, but you might not feel that way, right? So this idea of should you do this is ultimately taking an educated guess based on the factors that would make you more likely to see recomp changes, then asking yourself if you've been optimizing all that you can and making an educated guess for whether or not you are in a bucket of people with a set of circumstances that make you more likely to be able to see, you know, body recomposition changes at maintenance calories. And then you take it and then you say, okay, that's what my guess is. My guess is that I'm going to really like these results, or my guess is I'll probably like these results. then do it for 6 to 12 months. Take photos and or measurements and or, you know, journal about how you're feeling, how you, you know, take stock of how you look and feel in your clothes, whatever sorts of assessments you want to do. Do it for 6 to 12 months and ask yourself, was the juice worth the squeeze? So many people are waffling in this, I'm not sure if it's worth it. I'm not sure if I can see. Is it practical for me? I don't know. Am I new to lifting? Dude, just do it. Just do it. Just do it for 6 to 12 months. So I'm sounding like a Shia LaBeouf gif now, but just do it. Is that Shia LaBeouf, right? LaBeouf, just do it. Yeah, it is the just do it thing. Yeah, it's hysterical. Oh, man. Crazy times, Shia LaBeouf. Okay. So I'll leave you guys. I'm going to take a quick sip of this pre-workout, and then we'll close it down. I'll tell you guys a little bit about my personal experience. But, yeah, if you're looking for, like, more scientific stuff, like, we're done with that. I bulked and cut either loosely or intentionally for 5 to 7 years earlier in my life because that – you know, at that time, we're talking like just post-college, because at that time, making the best gains and physique change was juice worth the squeeze. I was okay with, you know, some discomfort gaining and cutting because I wanted to make the fastest physique change I could. You will make faster physique change, faster body recomposition, gaining and cutting than you will doing it at maintenance. But after that time, I put things on pause for a bit and I hung out at maintenance. I was still training really hard. I really didn't see much change at all. I was still training 4 or 5 times a week at this point, and I really didn't see much change, but I absolutely maintained, and I probably saw a little bit of change, but after the first 5 to 7 years where I was newer to training and I was bulking and cutting, being more experienced and trying to do recomp, I felt like my progress just like basically didn't happen. To me, it was not meaningful progress. And so after doing that for a while, back in 2019, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I've been lifting for like 10 years, and I want to see if I still have some muscle growth in me if I do some gaining. And so I did a bulk phase for about 18 months where I gained like 30 pounds. I went from 185 to 215. I was very happy with that rate of gain. Looking for like 1% body weight per month was basically where I was at, almost perfectly. And I got to say, even after 10 years of training, I was impressed with the muscle gain results. That bulk, even after 10 years of training, I felt was meaningful. Now, the 18-month bulk where you gain 30 pounds is no joke. So a lot of people are out there like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'll gain for the next 12 weeks. It's like, get out of here with that. I'm not saying it has to be 18 months and you have to gain 30 pounds, but you know, whatever, 30 pounds is relative to my body weight. You kind of want to judge whether or not the bulk did something at least over like 6 months where you're gaining 1%, at least 1% body weight per month. And so I'll just say I was pretty impressed with that. And so ultimately I cut down close to 180 and that was like 35 pound cut. It was like one of the craziest, crazy cuts. And then I rebounded. And I say that, I don't mean that negatively. Like I found my sweet spot closer to 190. Maintaining 180 was not practical for me. I was so hungry at 180, even at maintenance calories, my genetics didn't like being as lean as I was at 180. I gained a little bit of body fat up to 190. That let me eat a little bit more, and I felt great. And so that's where I've been for a long time ever since. I've been maintaining 190 to 195 for the last 3 to 4 years. And for most of that time, the last 3 to 4 years, I was training enough. I was training 4 times a week, and I was training hard. And I got to say, I still did not see much change, right? And when I say that, I mean change that was meaningful to me, but my life has been great. And I'm decently lean, so I'm decently lean. I've been doing this for a very long time. And so I am not, to me, even though I might fall into the bracket of that Barakat research where recomp is still possible for me, it's not, it's going to happen so freaking slow for me. And it's going to cost me a lot of hard training that I just don't feel like doing right now, right? I'm in a place where I think if I ever want to look, so for me, if people are like, oh, is recomp practical? I would say a very short sentence, recomp is not practical for me anymore. It's not practical for me unless I start training 6 days a week with all of my recoverability. I stop doing all this cardio and I start doing 6 days a week hard hypertrophy training. I bet you I could see some recomp right now. But it's not practical to me because I don't want to do the things I'd have to do, right? Which in this case would be training about 6 days a week, putting everything I got towards hypertrophy, or gaining and cutting. And so both of those are things I don't want to do like at all. And so, yeah, listen, I'll end with this. If you say I've been lifting for the last, you know, year at maintenance and I feel like I haven't seen any changes, right? So if you are listening to this and you're like, well, I've been doing that. You're like, whether it's intentional or not, I've been at maintenance for the past year and I've been lifting hard and I haven't seen any changes. If you, that is you, I want you to do a long, hard look at your training and your protein intake. Are those at a degree? Are you training 4 days a week hard? Are you eating at least 0.7 grams of protein consistently? Look at those two things. If you do, and those boxes check out, I think you're allowed to say something like, hey, those are the results I'm in for at maintenance, diminishing over time, unless I gain and cut or I train a lot more. And so if you're someone who's been at maintenance, lifting hard, and you think over the last year you look the same, then you have your answer that those are the results that are available to you unless you turn the training knob, you jack it up to 5-6 days a week, you know, 60 to 90 minutes, ton of volume. You probably see a little bit better results, or, you know, if you want to gain and cut. And I think the proof is in the pudding. And I just think that that's something I want to be a takeaway here is that the proof is in the pudding. If you want to know what is possible for you at maintenance, optimize things for 6 to 12 months and then say, was that juice that was worth the squeeze? The results I got for the benefit of not having to bulk and cut, am I down with that going forward? If you are, great, keep going. If you're not, make a change and consider bulking and cutting. All right, guys, thank you for listening. I will see you in the next episode. If you ever have a question about this, you can always reach out to me in a DM or an email. If you want to talk more about body recomp, I am around.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.